You'll hear a lot more here on the checking us out at MWCConnection.com.
Way to screw up our call sign.
What? MWCConnection.com?
Yes.
That's what it is. Facebook, not much connection. I also like on Facebook, no matter what we post, there's always somebody screwing around or BSing about UNLV or Nevada. Every single time. You notice that?
Well, Facebook. See, that's where the UNLV and Nevada fans hang out.
We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It gives us good dialogue, and as long as they're not YouTube commenters, it's fine.
Yeah, so keep the swearing to a minimal. Usually cool with that. And we're back. A little break here and there. We are going to go off season to chat about. Okay, it's not going to be, like I said, it's not going to be 100% basketball focused. Preview recap. We'll chat about hoops, of course, but there's a lot of football stuff. And like I said, Chris told the pizza man to stay warm, but it was 50 degrees outside.
Pizza woman.
Oh, sorry. Pizza woman. Pizza person.
Pizza person. Sure.
So where'd you get your pizza from? We'll start off with that. Might as well.
This podcast is not sponsored by Pizza Hut. I am not eating Pizza Hut pizza right now.
Did you get the $5 Pizza Hut medium pizza deal?
I did not. I got the $11 5-topping large pizza. Or special.
It's a good deal.
I thought it was a good deal.
I did get a pizza for my lunch today. We got a couple mediums at $5 deal.
Nice. This is like the first time I'm eating pizza in like over a week. I'm trying to subconsciously not eat pizza. And actually lose weight. So I am totally breaking that right now.
You can have a little bit of pizza.
Yeah, pizza's good for the soul. Don't let anybody tell you that differently.
Pizza and burritos.
I get plenty of burritos here.
Not Chipotle. Right?
Chipotle's not real. Chipotle's not real burritos.
It's the furthest. We don't need to get into getting sick or whatever, but trust me. Chipotle.
So what are we talking about tonight, Jeremy?
Pizza and burritos.
Yeah.
No, here's what we're talking about tonight. We got some it's off season, so we're gonna go off topic quite a bit. Maybe, maybe not, but here's what we're talking about. Coaching news, transfer news, draft news, and I'm gonna coin cheesy the Mountain West minute for basketball.
the literal minute that we spend talking about basketball.
Maybe a little bit more than that. Here's what we got going on. Earlier tonight, breaking news from Fresno State. Former Elite 11 quarterback Zach Greenlee is leaving campus at the end of the semester.
What?
Yeah.
No!
The quarterback! The quarterback!
That's fine. They'll find a new quarterback to quarterback with.
Well, Chasen Virgil is the expected starter, right?
Right. Yeah, until they decide that they need, like, another three quarterbacks to go.
Well, they do have new coaches there now, so does that make a difference? No more David Schramm to mess around and basically kill the quarterback psyche.
This is true. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe Fresno State will be back on the bowl game terms.
Possibly. Do you think it's – I guess at this point he has to wait till the semester over because I don't know if he's waiting for coaching news to come about or whatever, but it's kind of odd to transfer a week into the semester.
I mean, you can drop classes 5 weeks in.
It's true because right where I'm at, where my wife goes to school, she could drop, I think, last week. Her school's weird. She started January 4th, which is ridiculous, I think, for college. So, but she only had like 2 weeks, so I don't know. But then if you drop 5 weeks in, you go somewhere else. I guess we'd have to stay eligible, I guess. But
look, when you're taking classes like ballet, it doesn't matter.
Yes, Matt Leinart reference, 8 years later.
Look, if people still get that reference, I'm happy.
It's actually ballroom dancing, so get it right.
No, I took ballroom dancing.
So did he.
And that was... While that was not a difficult class, it was a very engaging class.
I can see that. So here's what we have coming back from Fresno State. The most, not eligible, I was going to say, but the most experienced, Kilton Anderson is going to be sophomore. He played 8 games, obviously 5 starts, part of that rotation. You got Ford Childress and Chasen Virgil. I got to say it's Chasen Virgil, right? Is he going to be the starter?
He performed the best last year. He should be the front runner.
In his short time that he plays. But yeah, we'll see. They have the new coaching staff there. It's just interesting. I don't know. I don't know. I wonder. I think that's possibly a good thing for Greenlee because even though Dave Schramm is gone and what everybody said he's done to quarterbacks and everybody there, maybe it's good just to move away from the campus to be somewhere else where it's, yes, you have new coaches, but an actual complete fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
So where do you think, where is he from? California, was that right? I believe.
Who, Greenlee?
Yeah. Was he from the West Coast?
I want to say he was a West Coast. No! No, didn't he transfer? No, he didn't. No, I think you're right. He's a West Coast guy.
No, he's from Stockton. He's right down the road, essentially. Right? Is that close enough to say down the road, Stockton?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. So I don't know where we're going.
He could go to Pacific and play. Oh, wait. They don't have a football team. Damn you, Big West football.
He did get offered from Mississippi State, but if I recall, that was like a week before signing day. And now it's kind of a last-ditch deal, so I don't know where he's going to go. We may keep an eye on that. The only thing about – you always hear about restrictions and quarterbacks and anybody transferring. The only thing they have, which I think this is reasonable, they block to any conference school, and the coach can choose any three teams. And the odds of those three teams are being non-conference teams. So that's not over the top, but I think that's reasonably fair.
Yeah, I think that's all right.
As long as it's not Utah State, Tim Duryea, and blocking 325 teams and other schools that block like 50 schools. So we got that. Then we'll stay in that area. San Jose State, well, Fresno has some new coaching hires. It's been a while. We don't know what the offense will be. That'll wait till spring. But new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. So that's, like you said, maybe bowl for them, but it's quite a bit early. But San Jose State. If people probably don't know who Dante Williams is, the secondary coach, you probably should have.
Yeah. You know that whole top recruiting class that San Jose State had?
His idea.
That was this guy's. That was this guy's idea.
Oh, and the top five pass defense in the country the past couple of years? That guy, too.
That, too.
Sending Bene Benwickery, who's now...
Bene Benwickery?
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With the Panthers after they won tonight. So he has sent a couple guys to the NFL. So yeah, Bene Benwickery is in the
Mountain West is doing pretty well in the NFL.
Got two,
Matt Paredes from Boise State. Ronnie Hillman from San Diego State for the Broncos.
Super Bowl. Up to look at who else. We have a handful of guys there. So yeah, I've been doing. I'll still count Steve Smith as coming back another year, even though he was at Utah back in 99. 16 seasons, got to be, I believe. But yeah, yep. Super Bowl represent. But he's off to. Arizona for a similar position, going to hang out with Marcel Yates there. But this is a huge loss because bringing this, like, I think they had the second best class last year, second or third best class to the Mountain West. Maybe it's the best overall. I know the one receiver freshman got kicked out of school for an arrest. I think some sort of abuse or something toward a female on campus, something unsavory, obviously. He was kicked out of school, arrested. But even without him, they had a good class, and he's the reason for it. And this team was terrible a couple years ago. Like, they were not very good at bringing in high talent. So he's gone, which we'll see. We know Greg Robinson is gone. And, Chris, who's their new defensive coordinator?
Oh, Ron English. Why that, Ron English?
Yes, that Ron
English. You know how much issue I had with the Gerg? I have even more issue with Ron English. It's like as if Ron Carragher is hiring everybody I hate.
We'll have an article up on this from our guy, our San Jose State guy. Check out at Hustle Belt. They did a pretty good overview of his career and stuff. So definitely look at that. But what has Ron English been doing the past while?
He was coaching at Eastern Michigan.
Exactly. Eastern Michigan. They beat one.
Where his overall head coaching record was 11-46. But hey, maybe San Jose State can beat Wyoming. It was after it was he was fired after he had the whole team meeting where, like he had all the cursing and slurs and all that stuff, mm-hmm. And it was recorded.
Yeah, that's what Detroiters from the Detroit News revealed that, and then that's why Husbandville has the same thing. He hasn't been coaching since 2013. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking at Wikipedia and stuff. He has his last job was that head coaching job. Why do you hire a coach who hasn't been coaching for 2 years? 2.5 years.
Maybe because, I don't know.
Only guy you can get.
He's a California guy, originally.
Okay, I need more than that, though, to be my defensive
coach. Look, this is all I can give you, okay?
I'm not asking you personally, I'm asking generalities. Like,
no, I have no idea why
you... It's the same thing as the Cal, who was it, the Cal OC taking the same job at Middle Tennessee State. What's up with that? You saw that, right? It's good luck for Ron Carragher. They made a bowl game. They won their bowl game at 6-7.
San Jose State has a lot of good things to look forward to, but at the same time, they hired Ron English after the Gerg retired, and the Gerg did a great job. Yes, I just said that on podcast. You guys can listen now. I said it once, I'll say it again. The Gerg did a good job.
He did, yeah. He helped do very well, but this is just an odd hire. Had Ron English been coaching anywhere, cool. Bring him in. He coached at Louisville, Michigan, D.C. years ago, but I don't get it. Another quick coaching news real quick. Wyoming hired former North Texas assistant Mike Grant to be a wide receivers coach. So there's that too. But good luck, Spartans. That's all I got to say for you, right? Is that about maybe Ron English will prove you wrong again, Chris?
Yeah, I hope so.
We'd hope so, because they, with Kenny Potter, they've been improving a little bit. They lose Tyler Irvin, but I want to say there's good things going, but you lose Dante Williams, I'm skeptical about what could happen. But let's go to some other coaching news.
Let's go to things that depress me less.
Yeah. Hey, Rick Pitino to the UNLV.
Not happening.
I wish I sent with you and Tyler, like, as soon as we recorded the show, was it less than 12 hours later or the next day? Hey, there's a source saying Rick Pitino to Louisville or to UNLV from Louisville.
Yeah, that was literally like 13 hours after we recorded that.
I think we recorded Thursday night and it was Saturday morning, I think. Something like that.
Maybe over 24 hours, something like that.
Something close. But there's a bunch of reasons that's not going to happen. He just got an extension.
I can give you a bunch of reasons. It's called $5
million. Oh, try $6
million. $6 million, whatever. Almost.
Whatever he's getting, he'll need $6 million. He gets extension through, the next decade almost, next 8 years. He gets $1 million raise next summer to put him, 5.1, 5.2. It's like, no. Do we know, Chris, how much did we say Dave Rice is making on our last show?
I don't know.
Do you want to take a guess?
I think it was somewhere a little north of $1 million.
Not even that. The school itself was paying $300,000. Incentives and outside money moved up to about $700,000 or $800,000. Then they also said they want to pay the next coach about $1 million a year. I don't know where you get from $1 million to $6 million. Unless those sanctions are really terrible for the alleged stuff about prostitution, escorts, and stuff for recruits. Unless that comes to say true and goes on Pitino, he's staying at Louisville as long as he wants.
Look, I'm just saying Las Vegas offers many things at Pitino.
Hey, oh, come on.
Fine, I won't.
It's legal there, but still.
Only outside the county.
That's true. There's there's that place. Wherever, outside the county. But I don't know who these sources are. Here's how I bet the conversation went. Somebody, because Pitino says it's not his agent, because that's who would talk to about any offers or deals or anything. It's also January, which is dumb to talk about job, like he said. And it could have been something where, hey, Vegas is cool. You know what I mean? Something like that. To say, oh, he's interested. There's interest. He said Vegas is cool.
Right, exactly.
And somebody told somebody. And there's the vague thing about 15 years ago where they tried to get him last time. And so let's go to the realistic option. Let's talk about Joe Pasternak of Arizona. That's more in the line of $1 million head coach.
There's a lot of options that are in the $1 million. I would take any of these.
Mexico State?
No, New Mexico State's head coach. That'd be an option. Grand Canyon's head coach.
The Thunder from Down Under, Dan Marley?
Yeah. Dude, the guy has Grand Canyon sitting at 5-0 in conference, 18-2 overall in the WAC.
Not a bad for a for-profit university.
Exactly. St. Mary's, they might want to look at St. Mary's.
Yeah, they're always doing it. That's a good idea. I don't think they'd be able to get anybody from, Mark Few, but...
How about Arkansas Little Rock's coach? 7-1 in the Sun Belt, 17-2. They know how to beat San Diego State at home. Oh! Mic drop.
And Aztec fans will kick their screen and kick their headphones out. hey, but you're 7-0 in conference. I'm done. We'll get to you guys in a second there. I don't know who they're going to go for. Here's one thing I read over at Ken Pomeroy. He made a very good point about this hire or the fire and the coaching search. Because, well, first off, Todd Steinman's 3-1. They finally lost their first game to Nevada on Saturday, so that's their first loss. So it kind of takes them out of maybe at-large contention. But he puts it like a 2-for-1 off possibility. You can get Simon for the rest of the year, see what he does. If he's great, maybe hire him, or a very good chance to hire him. If not, you see what you got and go for somebody else. Because, honestly, for UNLV to win the conference tournament or get in position for an at-large, we were going to talk about it. Anyways, there's probably only two bids, really. But we get to get on home court, which is not the it's an advantage for them. Nobody's going to deny that. I think they're good enough to maybe get a winner, a couple wins, or maybe get to the finals, even though they haven't. But the potential's there at home to win that tournament. And I think they're good enough with the talent they have. There's a possibility there. I think that 2-for-1 was interesting because Simon's shown he's doing pretty well. Even though, if you look at who they beat, schedule did get easier previously to what Simon has had to handle the past while.
I've got a good candidate for you.
Who do you got?
So, right now, in the Big West.
Larry Johnson. What's he doing?
No, not Larry Johnson. The University of Hawaii is sitting at 5-0 in conference, 16-2 overall. Their head coach brand new head coach, first year head coach.
Were there sanctions against Hawaii, I thought?
There were.
Oh, maybe I missed.
And he's basically survived all the sanctions and basically has created a fantastic.
Are they postseason eligible this year?
I do not know. But like I said, right now, Hawaii, best season in a long time.
They beat Nevada.
This guy's name, Aaron Gannot. E-A-E-R-A-N-G-A-N-O-T. Okay. was assistant head coach at St. Mary's College. And he's basically was there from 2003 to 2015.
So since they've been pretty good with Della Dova and everything.
Exactly. And he spent and he had one tenure in Hawaii from 2006 to 2010. But basically, he got hired by the University of Hawaii and has basically had them just destroying the conference. And really, I mean, Hawaii's only lost to two teams so far. Oklahoma, ranked Oklahoma, and who else?
I don't recall. I know they're undefeated at Big West.
Texas Tech.
They're pretty good, Texas Tech.
So Texas Tech and number 3 Oklahoma were the only two losses this season.
Here's their sanctions right now. Former coach Gib Arnold.
Mm-hmm. Gib Arnold. Yeah.
They're received postseason ban for next year. So 2016, 2017, and a reduction of 2 scholarships for the next 2 seasons. So through 2018.
Hey, it's perfect time for Gannot to leave.
I was about to say. Not that there's a problem, but I was exactly thinking the same thing. What if Hawaii makes like a Sweet 16 run? He might get picked up by a bigger program. You know, Wisconsin's going to need a new head coach as well because Bo Ryan stepped down. They're going to need – other teams are going to need a new head coach. And one postseason run can net you multiple millions of dollars at a job where for a program – this happens more often. This is not a put down on him at all. But you win 3 games NCAA tournament, you're basically golden if you're from not a big-time conference. Look at Andy Enfield, Gulf Coast, Florida – USC. Couple wins. That's all it took. So, if Hawaii could somehow do that, they might be a bit out of UNLV's range, but that is a good pull to see if he would be a possible candidate.
Yeah.
And the guy I mentioned before, really quick before we move on, was Joe Pasternak. He's the associate head coach at Arizona. Been there for their multiple Sweet 16, Elite Eight runs the past couple of years. University of New Orleans head coach was known recruiter there, had them at the top of the Sun Belt for recruiting. And so he would be kind of cheap. And I think that could be a good hire because recruiting to the same area, because Arizona competes with UNLV for recruits in basketball for sure. And he's basically a Sean Miller's number 2 guy. So that's the other candidate who's actually a canon that we've heard of, and that seems to be legitimate and serious and not Jay Wright or Rick Pitino.
I like my choice.
I do. Your choice, you do have the Big West bias for sure, but...
Look, if you're going to poach, you poach West Coast and you poach often.
Yeah. Well, I like it. That's a good mention. That's why everybody who's been legitimately mentioned has been out West. New Mexico State, Joe Pasternak. You have guys from even Reggie Theus has kind of been thrown out there. All the
guys, you do not want to get near Reggie Theus right now.
I'm just saying names have been West Coast names. I'm not saying he's the guy. I think if they hired him years ago, that would have been okay. But now, not the case. When he's at New Mexico State, but you got Justin Hudson from San Diego State, the assistant there. Everybody's been legitimately named has been a West Coast guy. So, and I guess. And who's the head coach? Who was it? He coached at Cleveland with LeBron twice. Mike Brown. That's the other guy that's kind of way out there, too. But that's where we're at for UNLV coaching. I don't know. You would want the Hawaii guy. I don't. Well, let me ask you this, though, real quick. With Todd Steinman, do you think he would stay on staff if he's not the head coach?
I would hope so.
Let me rephrase that. UNLV wants him there. Would he want to be there as an assistant?
No. Especially if he can bring UNLV to a modest finish and do very well in the tournament, then no, I don't think he's going to want to be. In fact, though, UNLV may want to remove his interim tag.
For the rest of the year?
Yeah. No. I meant after the season's over. Remove the interim tag and make him the full-time head coach.
What would it take for him to earn that, you think?
I'm going to hate to say it. I'm going to hate myself to say it. NCAA or bust.
Think so? Yeah. You think? Are they that delusional at UNLV about their basketball program?
Yes! National championship.
They have the talent. Their recruiting reflects that.
Top recruiting talent.
And did you know who's in charge of the hire, essentially, for the new coach? It's not the AD.
Oh, who is it?
Well, it kind of is. Her contract is up at the end of this year. So this could make for an interesting move, because it's always like you're the baseball or football. You don't want to hire the coach before a GM. You know what I mean? You want the GM to kind of pick his coach, essentially. And that's like it is in college athletics. You have your AD. They want to make the hire because it's a new AD. Especially UNLV. That's a big – what people say outside – I know pay is not the big thing when we talked to Tyler a couple weeks ago. It's outside of talent and what it can be. It's a top job, but pay is not there. But, again, you want to have the AD in place. If they re-up her with Tina, it's fine. They'll be great if that's where they want to go to keep the hire, and then you get the coach from her. But with the president saying how involved he allegedly is, this could mean there's a new AD coming in town as well. And who knows how long that hire takes. It could take up to a year or two to get a new AD in there sometime. You have an interim AD. So that's another twist to look at to see if they'll just stick with Simon because they're still looking for an AD. Because how silly would it look? Let's hire, your example, we hire the guy from Hawaii, head coach, have an interim AD. They bring it, say it takes a year and a half. So he's one full season, does just his second year is what, 18 wins, which is, and for UNLV standards, he's fired. That's just kind of some turmoil. So I don't, just a little thing, something to think about.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. So is it time? Oh, well, let's talk actual basketball.
This is the Mountain West Connection Basketball Minute.
San Diego State 7-0. Good job. Let's move on. No kidding.
Wow. Great. Can we talk about how San Diego State is 7-0 without seemingly having an offense, like, period?
This is par for the course.
Every single game, somebody, a different player, every single night steps up and gets enough points and becomes the guy, gets enough points, anywhere between, 15 and 25 points. And just does enough so that San Diego State can basically squeak out the win. Now, they dominated Utah State yesterday, but against Fresno State, a game in which they had no reason to even think about losing,
Cesar Guerrero knocks that three-pointer as time expires, and the game is forced to go to overtime.
What do you think about, like, look at that Boise State game?
Yeah, same exact thing.
Guys in three-pointers, they missed, which was partially defense, partially bad shooting, but I'll lean more toward defense. And I'm looking at CBS's score right here. I'm like, yo, what was the final score? I know it was 59-56, or excuse me, 56-53. CBS Sports headline from AP. Shepherd scores 13. San Diego State beats Boise State 56-56.
I know, and they still haven't fixed that title.
Harvard beats Yale.
They still haven't fixed that title.
It's like, you know, Harvard beats Yale or something like that. Was it like 0?
Yeah, Harvard beats Yale 0-0.
Yeah, Dewey wins or something.
But right now, the guy with the hot hand for San Diego State is Trey Cal.
Have a hot hand?
He does have a hot hand.
I'm not joking. I'm serious.
Yes. He scored 19 against Colorado State a couple weeks ago. He scored 27 to beat Fresno State. That's what I said. If Cal hadn't basically taken over that game, you would have probably found yourself – San Diego State would probably have found themselves on the losing end at home to Fresno State. And then Hemsley scored 18, but Trey Cal also had 15 in that game. So, I mean, you know. At the same time, though, you know, not everybody's gone away. Boise State looking very, very good. So San Diego State, Boise State looking like strong 1-2. And then it's like everybody else, except for Air Force and San Jose State. Poor San Jose State. But like literally New Mexico 4-2, Fresno State, Nevada 4-3, Colorado State 3-3, UNLV 3-4, Utah State, Wyoming 3-5. Any one of those teams can basically fight each other and basically get a 3-9 seed and when it's all said and done.
It'll be it's not like it was the past couple of years. It's down a little bit. But one thing I noticed too, kind of sticking this front, teams aren't protecting home court. Because what was it? Even when going back to when TCU was in their final year, they weren't winning. But and even right before Boise State got really good, they were beating teams at home or giving teams the toughest challenge ever. But this year, you have Wyoming winning at the Pit, San Diego State at Boise State, all these road teams winning. And then what are we going to see? Because am I correct on this? Boise State plays San Diego State later this year again at the NBA House, right?
Yeah, it's in a few weeks, I think.
And you're going to be there, hopefully, correct?
I got to see when that is. Hold on.
You should try to be there. It is Saturday, February 27th, 4 o'clock.
I think I'm in town that weekend.
Good. Go to that game. Give us an update. Live coverage.
No. But I won't be able to go to the UNLV game, damn it.
There's only one because it's at UNLV.
No, it's at San Diego State.
Nope, it's at UNLV. I'm looking at it right here.
No, that's the first one, January 30th. March 5th is the season finale.
Oh, a lovely CBS cuts me off at March 1st. CBS, get your act together.
Anyway. But if Cal goes cold, Hemsley has been hot and cold. Skylar Spencer has been good for blocking, but that's been about it this year. Winston Shepherd isn't his usual self. So
Malik Pope's only played 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, Malik Pope is not what he seems either.
Wasn't he supposed to maybe go to the NBA last year?
I don't remember.
I'm just saying.
I don't remember.
He should have.
But yeah, you're just saying, like, if San Diego State has an off night offensively, which, I mean, and I mean really
that's
off
every
night.
Every night, man. What are you talking about?
No. I mean really off night.
I get you. They can still win, though. They
can
still win if they
have that's what we saw against with Boise State.
56 points and they win.
And they held Boise State to one of, what was it, 1 of 30, I think it was, that game?
From three?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that bad, but I know they missed their first 12.
It was bad.
I think the man next door, Nick Duncan, made one of those.
He made the only three on the night for Boise State.
The dude that looks like he shouldn't be an athlete on any sense.
Exactly. He gives us hope to all non-athletes everywhere.
You know, so what do you think? Because here's where we're getting a roundabout way. How many teams are getting in the NCAA tournament as we're sitting here January 24th?
You want my gut, or you want my biased opinion, or you want my realistically?
Cool. Let's go with both.
Okay. I really want two.
Is that your realistic or biased?
That's my bias. I really want two.
You only think one's coming in then?
I have a sneaky feeling only one's coming in.
I think it's got to be two. It's always been two. It's been one.
No, man. There's some serious perceived bias against the Mountain West this year.
There was two last year. There should have been. Oh, wait. No, there was three last year. I apologize. Because Boise. Wait, was there three last year?
There were five last year.
No, there was not five last year.
Yes, it was Boise, San Diego State, Wyoming.
That's it.
Wasn't New Mexico?
Nope.
Colorado State?
Nope. Colorado State was pissed because they're like the first four out, but no.
Oh, okay.
That's a couple years ago. I'm going to say two, no matter what. I don't care who wins the conference.
Five of the top 10 seeds lost this weekend. Only
sorry about that. Hold on. I was looking at Jerry Palm's bracketology.
Yeah, I like CBS too. Did that to me as well. I think go to Bracket Matrix. That's the more trusted source because it takes about 20 brackets into one. But I'm going to say two regardless. Obviously, it's got to be the Fort Under San Diego State, Boise State. Because actually right now, even though RPI is not end-all, be-all, and it's also a flawed system, Boise has a better RPI at the moment over San Diego State, despite the head-to-head.
No, I mean, then it makes sense too.
It's also only 68-70, and those aren't good RPI numbers. To be safe, you got to be top 50, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And who knows if either one of these teams is going to reach top 50.
They play each other again. Here's a problem. The Mountain West, those are only two top 100 teams.
Okay, so Boise State's sitting right outside the next four out on Bracket Matrix. They're sitting with a 12.06 seed. And they're ranked in 18 of the polls, I guess.
Yeah, that's how it works, yeah.
Okay. UNLV, funny enough, 12.92. They're sitting 13. That's weird. San Diego State is sitting at a 12.07 seed.
So this could mean the winner gets a play-in game, essentially. That's where they're putting these teams at.
No. 12 seed doesn't necessarily mean...
12-11, usually.
It's, yeah.
Not regardless, that's not very good.
Yeah. But
I say two no matter what. That's what I think.
I certainly hope you're right. I will know more.
Once it's March 1st.
Yeah, a little bit closer.
We'll see. Because what would help is for UNLV to get some more victories, because they'll get the top 100. And that's where... San Diego State and Boise State need to beat UNLV and hope they stay in the top 100. And also hope for other teams win. Like, San Diego State played Utah. They need to get better. And basically, if you played the Pac-12, you got a good opponent, because the Pac-12, this is ridiculous. 11 of their teams, of the 12, are ranked 59th or higher in the RPI.
Pac-12 bias right there.
Washington State is considered the worst team. They do have a 162 RPI. They're the only team with a losing record of their 9-10. So, if you play the Pac-12, that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
So Oregon, 7 RPI. And New Mexico, did New Mexico beat Oregon as well?
No, they didn't, Bob.
I thought there were two Mountain West teams that beat Oregon.
Yeah, UNLV and Boise State.
Oh, Boise State. Sorry, Boise State. I apologize. So, yeah, so that's something to look forward to as well. That could be an issue, too. If the Pac-12 was that good, they may get, 10 at-large bids or something and hurt them out in the West. So we'll talk more hoops later. Any games really quick you're looking forward to this week on the schedule?
I do not have the schedule up with me right now.
Neither do I, so I was hoping you did.
Whatever Mountain West game is on this week. I don't know. I typically watch 2 to 3 basketball games.
You're more in front of basketball than I am this year. I'm doing just enough to keep what's going on. I'm lucky enough to have San Diego State 7-0 after the play. But look at the Aztecs. They're basically doing what the football team did. They struggle a little bit non-conference.
It's like a theme with San Diego State.
They're tearing up the league. It is. It's interesting, but... let's see what we have this week. I do like the Musselman, so that's a couple...
Musselman's doing some excellent stuff. Ooh, I have to compliment Nevada.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear that again. I would say Boise at UNLV is the game to watch this week on Wednesday nights.
Of course.
And then also, well, New Mexico at Boise on Saturday. I like that as well. And then you got Aztecs at UNLV. Those are some pretty big games this week. Everything else, I'd say a sneaky good game would be San Diego State at Nevada on Tuesday night. That could be very quite interesting at ESPN. Late night, 9 o'clock Pacific tip-off.
Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't be shocked if Nevada would win, but I wouldn't be picking if it would win that game. Let's get into football. Should we talk football now? Are we okay?
I guess, yeah.
Do you like football?
I do like football.
Good.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, did you watch any of the Senior Bowl or the bowl game this weekend?
Nope.
No, you didn't?
No.
No, I'm kidding. No, here's what... We got the East-West Shrine game. That was this past weekend. NFLPA game. We got the Senior Bowl next week. The big thing to know about the Mountain West is, like, I did an article really quick about the Shrine game, guys. Hunter Sharp had the best week, Utah State receiver. Yeah, he also did have a few drops, but multiple people, Mike Mayock, guys from CBS, three of the guys over at Walter Football, it's always a good resource. He was like a top five player all week. And here's what Rob Ranks at the CBS, this was of the game, let's see here, sorry, CBS plays that video and I'm trying to mute it for you guys, but... And my computer likes to scroll up and down, up and down. Here we go. Utah State wide receiver Hunter Sharp. It's fast and everything he does. Well, duh, we know that, right?
Yep.
He didn't play in the game, but basically, quick off the line, acceleration route, show burst. He's great. The problem with Utah State, switching of quarterbacks was a big deal and hurt him quite a bit. So I think he could be I know it's way early in the draft process, but he could be a guy he might be what Devontae Adams really should be in the NFL. Does that make sense?
I don't think so.
He's with the Packers now. He's their number three guy. He's supposed to have big things this year, especially with Jordy Nelson out for the Packers. He was hurt a lot, but I think Sharp, he's a deep threat guy, and everyone's a deep threat. If he's that fast off his routes, didn't he do a little special teams with Utah State for one of the years, I believe?
I think so, yeah.
He's the guy that did the best out of anybody this week. Corey James, Colorado State, got a couple visits. I think he met with the Panthers and Los Angeles Rams. Kevin Cartwright, Rams, just nothing special. We had a – what am I thinking of? Who was on the NFLPA game? Was it Dante Darius Thompson with the NFLPA game? Is that correct? Does that sound right?
I think so, yes.
I think it was him or Thompson. They had, like, a good practice that we get some pick sixes against the guys. But Senior Bowl, we want to watch. I would – As for the top guys in the Mountain West, we got to wait for Senior Bowl. Because the game, honestly, the game's for us and the reward. Nobody cares. That's why Hunter Sharp not playing the game. It basically means nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about the game. Because you can't sack the quarterback. You can't block punts. It's like, it's just a scrimmage. So we'll have a bit more draft stuff coming on. I just want to touch a little bit on it. But should we get to our main football topic for the evening?
Sure.
Are you ready for it? Did you study up for this?
I did.
Okay, so we wanted to do this last week, but schedules got in the way. And also, hey, it's off-season. We can miss a show here and there, and hopefully you guys still hang around. The past couple of years, we've done a top 50 countdown. And as CBS plays a video in my ear, I'm going to keep talking. We're going to prove how wrong or right we were on these top 50 lists. I'm going to go leaning toward wrong, just because that's how it normally works for these preseason top 50 things.
Okay.
So we're going to kind of banter on our top 10. So here's the top 10 for everybody who doesn't realize or doesn't know or weren't with us in the offseason.
Didn't remember.
Yeah. Number one, Donald Pumphrey, San Diego State, Rashard Higgins, Nick Vigil, Eddie Yarborough, Devontae Boyd, UNLV receiver, Weston Stillhammer, Joe Presley, the Mexico running back, center Marcus Henry for Boise State, and then Hunter Sharp, Utah State, and Ian Seau, Nevada. This is a composite out of, 12 or 15 riders on our site. Where, let me ask you, Chris, who is the first name on the list you'd get rid of?
Of the top 10?
Yeah.
Eddie Yardbrough.
Okay, that's fair to say. Even though he'll probably have a decent NFL future, he did not do exactly what we thought he could do.
Nor did any of Wyoming's defense, so.
Hey, they had a Football Writers Association freshman All-American. Somehow the defensive backfield.
Shows you how much I trust the Football Writers Association.
I agree with that pass defense. Who would you put number one then?
Humphrey. Who did I put as number one?
And who would you?
I'll tell you who I put number one preseason was Higgins, but I'm changing that to Humphrey.
You still put Humphrey number one?
Yeah.
I like Humphrey. I also like Ian Sayal, but Humphrey would be – you got to go Humphrey. There's no – for what he did for San Diego State, for them winning, Nick Vigil could be close first because he had 145 tackles, but I like Humphrey. Would you put Higgins still in your top 10?
Debatable.
Off of results would be just debatable. Not for what he might, what he could do possibly, but on field results, I would probably lean toward no.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that's not a slight on Higgins at all. There's a lot of other good wide receivers, and people are covering him more than we thought he would, or better covering, or better coverage, or schemes. Even though he was second in receptions. He only had 8 touchdowns. I guess if we look off what he did last year, what did he have, 15, 17 touchdowns? I would say yes, but I'm not sure. I know one guy you want top 10. Would it be Tyler Irvin, perhaps?
I would say that, yes.
Okay.
I would also say Mr. Brett Rypien.
Top 10?
Guy comes in.
Boise State Homer alerts.
Okay, so.
No, it's fine. It's
guy comes in third game of the season.
Yes, explain yourself.
Takes over, and basically, does anybody else have as many passing yards as him?
Nope.
Or touchdowns?
Yes. Nick Stevens had 21 to 20.
Okay. Coming in there as a true freshman, I think, and plus his pass attempts or his percentage completion was actually up there too.
63% was third in the conference.
Okay.
Second in the conference, excuse me.
Wait, who was better than him?
Just Kenny Potter, who also played 11 games, 67%. However, you take this into consideration, which I would, Rypien had a half yard more per attempt, and also through 420 attempts compared to 270.
Yeah, absolutely. But the guy's arm was just crazy.
I definitely could see it because of what he did in his age and 20-8 interception ratio, throwing nearly 40 times a game. I would have no issue putting him in there. I would maybe like Hunter Sharp probably remove.
Devontae Boyd?
Yeah. Yeah, I take Boyd and Joel Presley. Even though how much I love Presley, I think I have Presley. He is number 5 in my list. I take Presley out. I think Ian Sayal should be top 5. Other guys like we mentioned, Darian Thompson, Dante Dion, and then even Thomas. I know it's a bunch of Boise guys, but Thomas Spurbeck as well.
Spurbeck has another legitimate call for being at least top 15.
Oh, he had 20 receptions one game. Come on.
So anyway,
let me ask you this really quick. Brian Hill and Thomas Spurbeck are probably the two lowest guys out of top 50. Because I would put Brian Hill in my top 10. If we're going by overall talent per team, he is possibly, I think.
How do we only rank Spurbeck 44th?
We did. Where did you put per Spurbeck?
Did I even rank him?
Did you rank him?
Hold on.
Did I rank him?
Yeah, I ranked him 34th.
That's only 34th, pal.
Still, there were enough people that didn't vote for him or voted for him for loaded that he averaged out to 44th.
This is interesting, possibly, because
DeMonte Casey, only 41st.
Yeah, him and Calvin Munson as well.
Brian Hill, only 35th.
I think part of Hill would be was with the team he was on. That was an issue a little bit. I honestly, like what I was saying before, I think he would be probably, well, top three running back. I don't say anything, but.
Why the hell did we rank Max Whittick so high?
Norm Chow was telling anybody and everybody he's going to be the guy.
And we believed him.
Did I believe him? Please tell me I did not rank him.
Hold on. I'll tell you right now.
I did put Zach Greenlee 50. So there's that. I did not vote for Max Whittick.
You did not. You did not fall for it.
I was a wise man. You want to know who? You want? Yeah. You fell for him, number 7, mister.
I know I did. I said I did.
You were. Oh, wait, no, I didn't, but hold on. I apologize. I put him 21, so I'm a fall as well. let's see who was smarter than us. Of course. Let's see. Dwayne ranked him. I bet Ben didn't rank him. Ben Mitchum's a smart guy. Nope, he did rank him. Sorry, Ben. You're not that smart.
We all fell for it.
Let's see if Matt Kennedy did, because I think he's pretty level-headed. Him and Parker, let's see what happens to those guys. Nope, they both ranked them.
We fell for it!
Let's look at Chris or Eric. Let's see if our Hawaii guy. Nope, Keith did not vote for him. Oh, wait, he did 48. We all voted for him. We're all in trouble.
We suck.
I would go through this later, but looking like scrolling through, everybody voted for him, I believe. Let's, yep. We all put him somewhere on the list. Everybody voted for Max Whittick. Suckers. Jeez, we're terrible. That's why preseason predictions are fun and always inaccurate.
This is why we don't deserve nice things.
Anybody else on this list you wanna
change? No, I'm getting too depressed.
Too depressed? Let's see anybody else. Let's see. We put Chucky Keaton 20. Oh man.
We didn't know.
Who else we got? Tyler Winston, 24, that's about right. Sean Wick, 27. Whoops. Carlos Wiggins, 28. Another whoops. Oh, man. We were not very good this year. Let's see who else we got here. Nothing. Put Jake Rowe, tight end for Boise. Here's another guy, really low. Kennedy Tulile Masalili from Hawaii. He should be much higher. Go check out. We'll tweet out this post. We got a couple questions, Jeff. Go do some questions. We'll wrap up the show.
Wait, we have Twitter questions tonight?
I put some questions in a few minutes ago before we started. Let's see here. We have somebody wants to ask Kendrick Melville, Boy State guy, wants you about grape nuts. There's grape nuts for you. I don't like them, so. Do you have an opinion on grape nuts?
I am not a fan.
Okay. Somebody BLSS blog. Does how about that Wolfpack count? Sure. I like Ian Say. Oh, there you go.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, here's a legitimate one, I think, from Kendrick Melville. Some seem to think Craig Thompson and the Mountain West conveniently suspended Adams for the Wyoming-Boise State game. Conspiracy? Question mark?
No.
Negatory.
Sorry. Of course, I'm also talking as the Boise State homer, but Boise State did enough. I think they would have kept Adams to a minimum.
He would have made a difference, obviously.
He would have made a difference. The score would have been closer, but you forget that Boise State kind of pulled away at the end and ended up being a 10-point victory. But I think it probably would have been a lot closer, but you know.
Do they play again this year?
I don't know. I don't think so.
We'll see. I remember that game last year we saw the Mountain West semis. Whew, that was a game. Overtime, Boise, Wyoming.
Yeah.
And that was with Larry Nance Jr.
This is true.
I am bummed.
Wait, you're bummed that I'm not going to the tournament? You're not? Is nobody going?
We're going to have our local Las Vegas trainer go there, Nicole.
Maybe we should have her on to talk some basketball.
I should have Nicole. Well, she's been at a couple games. I'm going to credential her. We'll get in. She'll cover stuff for us, doing a great job. We have a bunch of new writers as well, so thank you for all those who are interested in hanging out in our little corner of the web. But yeah, she'll be there for us. Because we've had somebody there for a while. You've been there. I've been there. Ken Rodriguez was there 1 year.
Did Matt make it out?
Matt Bain?
No, I mean, we've seen Matt Bain plenty of times. I hang out with Matt Bain.
I know, that's what they said. Or the other Matt.
No, Kennerly.
I don't think so.
The one who's still with us.
Sorry, we had like 10 Matts at one point.
We did have like 10 Matts. Because we also, you forget about...
10 San Diego State Matt guys as well.
Matt Hoffman, yeah. San Diego State guy. Mm-hmm. Mark Cox was not a Matt, but still confusing along with all the Matts.
There was a lot, so... We'll have somebody there, which would be great. So she's done a great job for us. So check out UNLV stuff. We have a few new people. Anything else we want to add, or any do you want to discuss off season? Because I think we just kind of wing it and go from here.
Yeah, I think. Well, we're going over an hour.
Not quite. We're gonna keep it under an hour, 52 minutes. But that's all I got for tonight. Okay. So unless you have anything else to add. Watch more basketball.
Yeah, watch more basketball. Oh, socks.
Let's talk about socks, yes.
Let's talk about socks.
If you're in Nashville, if you're in Washington, D.C., you're probably not listening to the podcast, but you can use some socks.
Yeah.
You're buried in a 2 feet of snow.
But if you're in Big Bear Mountain or Mammoth Mountain, you could use socks because they're in California and there's snow.
Or you should have pitched them to the pizza woman who said keep warm.
I should have, but I'm too good to give away my socks. Those are my socks, damn it.
Yes. I was lucky enough to get an 8-pack for Christmas.
I need to buy more socks.
Bombas.com / Mountain West is what we're getting at. 20% off, the best socks ever. No joke. This is probably not kosher to say, but I'll wear them multiple days in a row and they feel fine.
No, it's perfectly all right. No. How is that not okay to say? I challenge the audience to literally say that they switch their socks every single day.
Outside of working out in those same socks.
Still.
I'd say to their sweat ratio if you have to wear socks to get up to working out, but...
Oh, okay. Well, okay. If you're working out and you don't change your socks, then that's gross. I'm talking about you wear socks every single day. If you're not sweating, if your feet aren't sweating, you know, they're just nice and they're not peeling off at the end. Yeah, perfectly all right to wear a second day.
They do. They got the honeycomb heel stitch. If you get the short ones, the ankle ones, they don't roll off the edge and go to the bottom of your shoe.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice. I have a pair. Hey, I got black and pink ones. I love them.
I have my neon pink and my neon yellow and my neon orange and my neon blue. And I switch them all like with colors and they make sure, you know, they go with fashionable attire.
Give us some credit. MountainWest.com, Bombas.com /MountainWest. 20% off on your first order. Here's a hint. Order with different emails because it's a new order-only purchase.
Yeah.
That's a little background so you can buy a couple there. So also, if you don't believe us, go to the Gap. They sell Bombas there. Don't buy them. Don't buy them there. Just take a look at them and see if they have. Trust me, you'll thank us later. And also, cool thing, they donate a pair and you buy a pair. So it's awesome. And they are a bit pricey, but trust me, they are.
They just came out with new socks, I think.
Which ones?
They call them the Resolve 7-Day Work Pass. They are 7-Day ankle packs or 7-Day regular packs.
What?
So you could buy 7 pairs of socks. Now 15% off for $66.30.
Well, we get 20% off, man.
And in addition to the, I think 20% off.
Possibly.
Or you could go get their new merino wool.
Warm socks.
Warm socks. Wool socks, if you're into that sort of thing.
And one last thing, because I don't know we're shilling a lot, but... They do have just regular white and navy blue or black if you'd like.
But that's boring, and you shouldn't do that.
That is boring, yes. So check it out. Trust us. You'll thank us later. So as for this show, we're going to attempt to do a really quick go over once a week, approximately, maybe ramp it up during March Madness, depending on what we have going on there. But we're going to keep it going through the offseason. Send in questions. MountainWestFootball@gmail.com. That's a good email. You can... Send us on Twitter, MWC Connection. Message us on Facebook. Like our Facebook page. We will be posting random stuff. And also, really quick, congrats to Kawhi Leonard, NBA All-Star starter for the West.
Yeah, absolutely. Former San Diego State Aztec, yes.
Yeah, despite the guy who comments, I didn't know this was a UTSA website.
It is?
On Facebook.
Shit, meep.
All right, that's what we got for tonight. Give Greek Padre a follow. That's Chris Andres there.
Somebody's.
That's somebody's. I think he tweets every now and then when he's not busy.
Yeah.
MWC Connection is our face or our Twitter. And also, I'm going to throw us out there now. We might do a food challenge sometime this summer.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
We forgot about it.
But I completely forgot about it.
I knew that. Perk you up at the end. So that's our show for tonight. Keep checking us out. MWCConnection.com. Draft stuff. We'll have NFL stuff with the Super Bowl. Guys in the Mountain West. College. Obviously college, but basketball, I should say. College basketball. Just, we'll have nonsense. It's offseason. This show will be fun. So, again, give us a review. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Whatever Google Music is up, go there. We're great. We love it. Give us a review.